This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, July 25th, 2018. The Feast of St. James the Greater, Apostle, by Father William Doc Holliday.
You do not know what you are asking. I think if we are honest with ourselves, particularly after we kind of meditate upon the sons of Zebedee approaching our Lord through initially their mother and asking him that they may sit on one on his right hand and one on his left. If we contemplate that story and meditate upon their outlook on things, and they're not, and I'll get into this, they're not being evil. They're not being sinful by doing what they're just being people. They're just being like us. And if we meditate upon what they did, I think if we sit back and thought about some of the stuff maybe that we've asked in the past and maybe some of the things that we are going to ask and correct ourselves in the future, we need to hear our Lord Jesus Christ look at us and say, you don't know what you're asking. We don't know what we're asking because he's God and we're not. We don't get it yet. Just because they were apostles, they didn't get it yet. One of the things that's kind of interesting about the whole thing is it makes it sound, if you're not paying attention to what has gone on just prior to this part of the scriptures, that's why I'm always emphasizing it's a necessity to know all the scriptures because it puts things in context. It can seem like the mother just wants her sons to have a close place to Jesus. Okay? One at your right hand, one at your left. And you're messy. Most of us, in the messianic banquet for all eternity, one sits at Jesus' right hand, one sits at Jesus' left. That's not what she's asking. This is chapter 20 of the Gospel of Matthew. And chapter 19, it lays the foundation for why are they even thinking about this thing? Because our Lord Jesus Christ has looked at his apostles and said, Amen, I say to you, you have followed me in the regeneration. When the Son of Man shall sit on the seat of his majesty, you also shall sit on 12 seats, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He says that to all 12 of the apostles. So human beings, being who they are, if you're told that you're going to have a really cool position, but there's 12 positions, what do you want? Well, I want the best of the 12 positions. This is what they're asking. They're just not asking to sit next to Jesus. They're asking to sit next to Jesus Christ in his judgment. Basically as co-regents, which they're going to be, but they want to be like right up there in the judgment. It's sort of like they want to be the boss, okay, they are, of everybody else. It's interesting that what would be the catalyst for this for these guys? Well, because Jesus has, and I point out quite frequently, Jesus has shown some favor to them. You know, three different times, and he's going to do something very, very deep, very profound. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who does he bring? Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Well, here's James and John. Now, what have they already seen? He looks at Peter, oh, you're our Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. These two guys are probably, darn, I want to build a church on me. Yeah? That's just human nature. Darn it, missed out on that one. So, hey, Mom, go up and ask them. Yeah. It's just human nature. Like I said, they're not being sinful. They're not just asking at the banquet. They want to be in the prime seats of judgment. We love in our humanity being able to tell other people what to do. We love in our humanity not just being able to tell. I'm not talking in the secular sense. I'm not even in the church. Yeah, you need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. You need to don't do this. Don't do that. We love that kind of stuff. You gotta watch it. This is where we get the lesson. He says, you know not what you ask. You know what you're asking for. Like I said, they're not sinning. They're just showing their lack of understanding of who God is and what is entailed in serving Him. What is entailed? And even in this world, you know, if you wanted to be a secular judge, what do you have to do? Bare minimum. I mean, it hasn't historically been this way, but nowadays, really, really a positive thing to do if you want to be a judge, you go to law school. It's not the easiest thing on the face of this planet to do. It's expensive. It's arduous. It's hard. If you want to be a judge, you have to do it. You got to work for it. These guys are kind of gravitating toward the human nature. I want to do something, and I want to do the least amount of work possibly to do it. And I don't even think they're going there self-consciously. They just don't understand what's entailed in this whole thing. You know, these guys, like, they have put themselves out. I mean, in the first prayer today, what is it? That we may emulate them, and it, particularly St. James today, we emulate him in the fact that he left his father and everything in this world to follow Jesus Christ. So it's not a foreign thing to them to have given up everything and to follow Jesus Christ. We're the same way. Hey, I've put myself out of light. I study the Bible. I go to Mass. I do this. I do that. I've been baptized. I'm faithful. I say my rosaries and things like that. That's all well and good. That's all well and good, but we never understand how deep we have to delve into the things of the faith, because we have to understand that it's a matter of orienting ourselves to what is necessary for the rewards of our faith. Jesus proves this because, and I said he didn't say, because he doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't say, you don't know what you're asking for. Come on, guys. You know, I'm going to have to hang on the cross. You willing to hang on the cross? He doesn't say that. He's very subtle about what he says. You don't know what you ask. Can you drink the chalice that I'm going to drink? Oh, yeah, we're able to. They had no clue what that chalice was. They didn't know at this time what the chalice was. But after his crucifixion, then it starts right. And then when that happens, then let's just St. James, this is his day. What happened in St. James' life? Okay? Because his brother John, what happened when our Lord was arrested? Yeah, we can drink the chalice. The Lord's arrested. Where's James? He's with everybody else. I'm out of here. He runs. His brother went back. His brother was at the foot of the cross with the Blessed Virgin, St. Mary Magdalene. Where was James? Yeah, my brother, he's always been a little slow. I'm going to hide out for a while. But after he sees the crucifixion and the resurrection, then things change for him. He's not want to run anymore. Not only does he not run, he confronts his executioners in such a way that actually one of the ones who was leading him to his execution was converted in the way he approached his martyrdom. He was actually converted on and killed with St. James because he profoundly let his conversion be known on the way to where this other guy's going to get his head cut off. That's the change that happens when you become properly oriented to the things of the faith, and you realize that it doesn't matter, even to the point of getting your head cut off, that I'm good with this. Because now I know I'm going to get my reward, and now, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to sit on my right hand or on his left. I just know that my reward is such that this doesn't make any difference, getting my head cut off. The same thing can happen to us. It is happening to us. We are progressing in our faith. We're being more and more oriented. Our Lord, you don't know what you're asking. You don't understand. We need to understand. Because right now, we don't understand. Yeah? Some things sound really good for us when it comes to matters of faith. And it's really easy to be a good Catholic, as I always point out, when we're sitting here in the air-conditioned church, or we're sitting in the house reading the scriptures, and everything's going just fine. When things aren't going fine, that's when the real orientation takes place. Because Jesus Christ does not just direct this at James and John. not just at them, but at every disciple of his, you will drink the chalice that I drink. I don't mean martyrdom. Could be, probably not, but it could be. But every little bit of suffering that you do for our Lord, the offenses that you take, the embarrassment that you feel, whatever it may be, the lack of understanding as to why the Holy Spirit isn't doing something. How come, you know, I try to do so much and I feel like the biggest waste of a Christian on the face of this planet. I'm not supposed to feel this way. Yeah, you are. Because you got to where he wants you right now. He's making you understand. We need to understand. Just like James and John had to eventually understand that they were going to drink the chalice. This is not the time for rewards. Our reward comes in eternity. This is not the time for it. Not to say we don't get them occasionally. This is not even the time for consolations. Oh, you know, you get consolation every now and then. I don't get any consolations anymore. I haven't had any consolations. I don't receive... It's not the time for consolations. This is the time for drinking the chalice. Drinking the chalice. And it's not the good chalice of the wedding banquet either. The psalmist says we're drinking the chalice, you know, because we are sinners. We are drinking it down to the dregs. That's the chalice of this world. And we got to swig that down before we swig of the chalice of the banquet of the supper table of the Lamb. That's a chalice that we have to drink and understand that we're drinking right now. Little sips occasionally, every now and then a real big gulp. For some people, a lot of gulps, a lot of times. You're closer to Jesus Christ if that's happening to you. You're acting more like him than if you were just taking little sips. We need to keep our eyes on the things of heaven. Like St. Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you need to keep your eyes on things of heaven and not on the things on the earth. When the sons of Zebedee asked this question of our Lord, they had their orientation toward things of this earth. Oh, it's really cool to sit and judge people. Well, it takes something to be able to do that. It takes something to build up that to that responsibility. And now you're going to do it. And after they learned more and more about it, they did it more and more willingly. We have to do the exact same thing. Father and Son and the Holy Ghost.